know what he's done for us and what he's going to do for us. Let's stand with us, please.
Shout to the Lord, all the earth. hallelujah to the Lord of heaven and 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 earth.
God of wonders, sing it out, church.
God of wonders beyond our galaxy, you are holy, holy. The universe declares your majesty. You are holy, holy.
Lord of heaven and earth.
Thank you, church. I think you may be seated.
Father God, as we come before your holiness, as sinful human beings, we're amazed. You are the God of wonders. Please, do some wonderful things in our life as well, we pray. Bless this worship service this morning, we pray. May all things be done to your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Cold and weary, with a babe inside, and I wonder what I've done. Holy Father, you have come and chosen me now to care.
Be with me now. As I think about the tithe and offering call this morning for our financial needs here at the church, I am reminded about how grateful I was this last week, and I'm sure a lot of you were too. But as I think about how grateful I am, I'm so grateful for all the church ministries that we have here. And we have a lot of them. And, of course, my favorite, of course, is biking. And there's so many other wonderful ones, including the one that's tonight that I hope that all of you find time to come to. But all these things take some energy, some time, and finances. And so as you think about reaching into your purse and your pockets and your wallets today to think about our financial needs here at this church, and the church is such a great place for us. And I think about this, and I share this thought with you. I think back to when Paul was writing about the church of Smyrna and the difficult times that they were going through. The huge amount of pressure that was going on at that time for that church and the things that they were being bombasted by constantly. And I think about our times today. And they had a sense of church, and that sense of church helped them sustain through the persecution they were going through. And this sense of church will help us as we go through the trials of our lives. So as you think about giving this morning and helping support the church ministries and expenses here, think about how we pull together. And we pull together in a lot of ways, and we come together for the good of God. But it's that sense of church, that ability to come together continuously, that allows us to go forward with the ministries that are here. So if the deacons would please rise. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for your love, that you would so fill our lives with so many things and so many wonderful ministries. And we pray, Lord, that you would bless those who can give today and those who are here today in a special way, that we might be able to meet the financial commitments that we have for our church. And this we pray in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Let the church say amen again. Amen. Whew, that was beautiful. Thank you, Ryan and Eden, for bringing us such a beautiful song. I wanted to stand up and say encore after that one. Thank you so much. And welcome to the Piedmont Park Seventh-day Adventist Church. This is our Youth Sabbath here, and we're so grateful to have each and every one of you that has come to worship with us today, and I'm so thankful to our youth and our young adults who are leading out in our church service. I am excited about a church that empowers its young people. Amen? Amen. Amen. There's a lot going on. I'm also excited about an active church. Can you say amen? Amen. There's lots of things happening, and I want to give you just a little taste of some things that are happening. First and foremost, perhaps the most exciting thing that's going to be on your calendar for this coming week, we have a business meeting on Monday. It doesn't get more exciting than that. We're going to be meeting this Monday at 7 o'clock. We'll meet in here. We're going to be talking about an issue that we have with our lights. We made a plan, and then we learned some more things, so we got to talk about it again as a whole church. So we value your opinion. We hope that you will come and share with us, and we're going to try to make a decision on what to do to try to light up the dark here in the sanctuary. Some more announcements coming up. A lot of things happening. Vanessa, I'd like you to come up and tell us about something that's happening this coming Friday.
Yes, I'm very excited. Our next Friday night Vespers will be this coming Friday the 12th at 7 o'clock, and we're going to delve into the stories behind some of our favorite Christmas songs. I found some really neat videos that kind of tell the background story about the writers and what they were going through when they wrote those. And Linda and Tom are going to lead us in singing those songs after we learn more about them. So I really hope that you'll come out, bring your friends and family. It's a great way to just welcome the Sabbath and learn more about Christmas.
Okay, that will be next Friday at 7 o'clock, right? And then Renee, you had an announcement as well.
The pastor didn't know I needed to make an announcement. I wasn't sure I did either this morning, but I guess I'm here. we've been setting up a fundraiser for the Better Day Fund, and we do have it scheduled for December 9. It's going to be a supper fundraiser, and so we hope you'll bring your friends and family and just get away from your kitchen for a little bit and not have to eat your own food. I think that's always a treat, right? It's going to be at La Paloma on 84th and Holdridge. We do earn 15% towards our benevolent fund. We have been hit hard this year by a lot of needs, some big needs, and we've been able to help. And it's because of your generosity, because of your support, that we've been able to reach out. Two-thirds of our funds have gone to our own members, and so we're happy to help our church family. And then we've been able to make some significant help for a couple of community people that really need it. The lady that we told you about that was at 71 pounds that we have been helping, she is now being able to receive the J-tube feedings. I saw her the other day. She's gaining weight. She's looking better. And a lot of that is because you helped with that. And so to be able to find that one person in the community that had somehow slipped through the cracks and be able to intervene with the generosity of this church, she has expressed appreciation so many times. So I hope you'll come out, continue to help us with this good work. It'll be 5 to 9. That's Tuesday, December 9. This coming Tuesday at La Paloma on 84th and Holdridge.
Thank you, Renee. Just a few more announcements for you. Several of you will remember one of our longtime members here, Margaret Opp. This last week, one of her daughters passed away, Carlotta Opp. And so I want to let you know that the memorial service for Carlotta is going to happen here at Piedmont, not this Sunday, but the following Sunday, December 14th. That'll be at 11 a.m. So I did want to let you know about that. And then coming up this evening, we have a exciting, fun activity that's going to take place right here on our grounds, but not inside. It's going to be outside tonight. We're going to be having our Journey to Bethlehem live nativity. And so those of you who want to come and get bundled up, because we ordered warm weather, it just got here a week early. It was very warm last Saturday. But tonight it's going to be nice and cool. We'll have some fire pits to keep everybody warm. But people are going to come through. They're going to drive through our parking lot, and they're going to see the story of Jesus and his birth. And it's an exciting time. You can help tell the story of Jesus tonight. Come. We will bundle you up, and then we will put you in garb from Bible times, and then you'll get to be out there and just be a silent actor, whether it's in the Bethlehem scene or as a shepherd or at the manger scene or the wise men. It's an amazing time. If you want to just come and see it, get in your car, pile in there. We're going to be going from 6:30 until 8 o'clock. With the live nativity. Encourage your family and friends to come through. Just drive through. They get to see the nativity, and they also get to hear it because it will be on our radio station, 1580 AM. So I hope that you'll come out and drive through or come out and be a part. And then when it's finished, we're going to be having some more fun after that. We'll be having warm soup and warm drinks for everybody who's been outside. And then at 8:30, we're going to have our soup supper and Vespers. So bring your guitars, bring your ukuleles, bring your voices. And we'll be singing some songs after we're all done. So lots of exciting things going on this evening. Hope that you will be a part. Today we also have our fellowship meal after church. We invite you to join us for that as well. I do believe that's all my announcements, but boys and girls, we got to move to the most exciting part of the service, and that's Lamb's offering. So we get to watch you guys be a part of ministry. I wanted you to go head to the back of the church, work out some wiggles on your way, and then come up here with those empty baskets. We're going to be collecting offering for the Lamb's offering. And then, boys and girls, stick around for a children's story. Thank you, everyone, and happy Sabbath. Good morning, boys and girls. How are we doing today? Good. Are you doing all right? Good. Are you excited about this time of year? Why are you excited about this time of year? What is it? Because it's Christmas time. Are you excited about Christmas? I don't know if they are. They seem... Oh, now why are you excited? I bet a lot of you boys and girls have been spending tons of times in stores, going from store to try and find that perfect gift. How many of you have been shopping a lot? Wow, more than I assumed. Do you guys buy gifts?
Yeah.
You do? You look for your own gift. Okay. All right. Do you guys like to receive gifts? Do you maybe receive more than you buy? Maybe. Oh, you got some gifts. All right. Well, have any of you at Christmas time or for your birthday ever opened up your gift and then started crying? Maybe a couple of you have. It's not typical that we cry after we open up our gift, but that happened one time, not to me, but to someone that I gave a gift to. You see, years ago when I was about your guys' age, I didn't have any money to buy gifts for my mom and my dad and my sister. So I couldn't go store to store and buy anything special for Christmas. But I thought, I want to do something. And so I made a little card, and I wrote a little poem on it, and I wrote about my mom and how much I loved her and how great and awesome she was. And so I gave that gift to her on Christmas morning. She opened it up and she read it, and tears started forming in her eyes and started sliding down her cheeks. Now, those weren't tears like we cry sometimes when we bump our knees and sad. Those were actually tears of joy and happiness. And I wasn't expecting tears to come, but they did. And that made me feel, I think, better inside, because I've done something for my mom than all the presents that mom and dad had bought for me. So as this Christmas season is here, and I know you guys don't have giant bank accounts or big paychecks to go out and buy a lot of presents, but I want you to think about the things that you can do, maybe for your mom, maybe for your dad, maybe your brothers and sisters, or maybe even the neighbor across the street. There are some things that you can give, whether it's a card, a poem, maybe bake cookies with your mom and dad, and you can give them to someone else, and you can help share a little bit of God's love and joy that way, and let your loved ones know how much they mean to you. Will you do that for me this week, this month? Thank you. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for coming here to our world and for being the gift that we all needed. Now, Lord, help each of us to not only appreciate the gifts that we get, but help us to think about how we can make a difference for others and tell them how much they mean to us. Bless each of these young people here and their families. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, church family. Would you stand as we do our song of praise, O Come, All Ye Faithful.
Oh,
right. Now we're going to sing our prayer chorus, Silent Night, first verse only.
Church. As you're comfortable this morning, go ahead and join me in kneeling before the Lord for our prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you today in wonderment about the anticipation of your gift. Lord, we know how much you love us. We know how much you care for us. And yet, the extent to which you go to reach out to us, to open up our hearts, to demonstrate your love is unending. Lord, at this time of the year, we get to see examples of that. The gifts that we buy or the ones that we see given gives us just a glimpse of the cherished gift that you gave to us. Lord, we confess that sometimes our focus isn't just on you. We get, especially this time of the year, wrapped up in the commercialism and the busyness of the season, and it distracts us from where our hearts really want to be. Lord, help us. We confess. Bring us back to you. Keep us calm, keep us focused in the midst of all the busyness. Lord, we ask that today you would add just a special blessing upon those who've been able to come here and enjoy the worship, the wonderful music. But Lord, also we ask for a blessing to be placed on those who either are ill or have other needs today, maybe traveling, visiting. Be with us as a church. Knit us together as a family, even when we're apart. Lord, we also ask a special blessing on just the work that's going about the church with the expansion. We pray that you would continue to add blessings upon that. Give safety to those who are working. And also help us, Lord, in the endeavors that we have to support those and all the other ministries. Lord, we ask also for your special blessing upon Pastor Andy today and the words that he has prepared, and that your Holy Spirit may be with each of us. Open up our hearts and our minds to your word, to what you have to offer us and how you meet us right where we're at. And be with him as the words come out. May they give us a special blessing. Lord, for all of these and for the other things that are in our hearts that we ask for, we ask for your special blessing today through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Today's scripture reading is found in Acts 1:1-5. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave him many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke to the King of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit."
Good morning, everyone. Nice to see you here today. Can I just put my microphone down there? And to again express my thanks to everybody that has taken part in the service this morning. It's a lot of strings to pull together, something like this. And so I thank each and every one, each and every participant. I think we all know who stole the show already. Miss Eden Watson. It's very special. You know, it's nice to be part of a intergenerational church. I hope whatever stage of life, whatever season of life that you're at, that you feel welcomed and that you feel part of this place, part of this church, whether you're an older person, a younger person like me, whether you're a teenager, whether you're a young child. It's a blessing of Piedmont to have an intergenerational ministry for everyone. So thank you for being here. Thank you for your support. I can't believe it. Yesterday, the temperature, I put my running shorts on and did a 3-miler last night, and I looked at my watch, December the 5th, I'm in Nebraska running in shorts, what's going on? But it felt good. It certainly felt good. You can see that things are really starting to change and take place in here as well. My, Pastor Michael, I can see all the way through back to the construction site. I can see the new monitor that Adam and Roy kindly put up for us this week as well at the back of the church. Things they are a-changing. We live in a very fast, rapidly changing world. And we better hold on tight and get used to it and adapt to it. And share the story of Jesus. Share the story of Jesus. Amen. In new and creative and innovative ways so that we can reach people for him and prepare them for his coming before he comes the second time. I'm just looking up here because I forgot to put my watch on today and the monitor's in the place of where the clock was. And Calvin just put new batteries in my mic as well. You might be here a long time, I promise. I know what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking. Thank you for being here. Let's have a word of prayer this morning, shall we? O come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord, King of angels, seated at the right hand, the throne of heaven, preparing a people that love him, follow him wherever he goes. And pray that you'll tabernacle and dwell with us here at Piedmont Park, here in our families, here in our church, here on our construction site. What a great metaphor we have before us of how you work in our lives, sometimes to chisel away, and sometimes to build new things in. We thank you for your patience and your grace, and your promises you've given to us in your word. Help us as we just dwell for a moment in awe and wonder again at the incredible condescension of Jesus to come as a baby in Bethlehem, to grow up as a child, as a youth, to have an incredible ministry, to train others to take that ministry on. This is the part of the tradition that we follow on in. Help us to grasp as much of its meaning as we can. Again, this holiday season, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, sometimes it's true that we all go through spiritual highs and lows. Do you know what I mean? We go through spiritual highs and lows. We go through times when, you know, we can't wait to get up in the morning and meet God, and our lives are exciting and they're fresh. We just love to read His Word and meditate upon His promises. But it's not always like that. Sometimes we go through barren times where we're perplexed by our circumstances, where we're troubled by the things that we see around us. We're smitten by fear. We feel stuck. We feel we're on a treadmill that's going faster than our legs can take us. Do you feel like that? Am I the only one that feels like that? Come on, fess up. And so for some time, I felt like I'd been myself in a bit of a spiritual slump. I spent a very lazy time over Thanksgiving. I had my younger brother here in town from San Diego, and we had a nice time with him. And I just felt at the end of that weekend, Andy, I'm getting lazy. God didn't call you to ministry just to be lazy. Because there's so much to do, right? So much to do. But I must admit as well, in thinking about upcoming sermons and preparation, that I felt myself that I needed to be revived again by God's Word, to become excited again about what Jesus did for me, is doing for me, is doing in me. And the church at present, with its main entrance over here and everything upside down. I don't know about you, but I find sometimes that God causes chaos in my life, because that's part of the reconstruction process. God wants to build in good things into my life, into your life, to the life of your families, to the life of your friends. And so as I've been reading through this 25% of the New Testament that was written by Dr. Luke, I find my spirit being revived again. And you know from when I shared a couple of weeks ago, those bookends in the book of Acts starts with Jesus. It ends with Paul preaching Jesus in Rome, center of the world civilization at that time, center of the empire. Incredible growth of Christianity in that first few decades after Jesus had died, been resurrected again, and was taken back up to heaven. Because the good news is, Jesus isn't done yet. Jesus isn't done with me yet. Jesus isn't done with you yet. You know, I realize sometimes when I look in the mirror that I'm not who I'm meant to be. I'm not yet where I'm meant to be at, not who I'm supposed to be. But thank God I do look back in my life and say, well, I wasn't where I was either. There is some movement, there is some direction, and I hope that's the same for you as well. Let's not press the pause button on what God is doing in our lives and in our church as well, as we seek to reach out more and more to the community around us, trying to take the old message of Jesus and His love, the old story of Jesus and His love, and to share that with others, and to become excited about sharing it with others as well. I sat this week in a waiting room as I sat to have one of my son's cars repaired. It needed a new windshield. And there was a guy just across the way from me, buried in his newspaper. And I just shot up a prayer. I said, Lord, help me just start up a conversation with this guy, you know. It could be about anything to start with. And, sometimes it's just easier, isn't it, just to, you know, I have my book with me as well. So I could have just, you know, sat down on the seat and just, you know, tucked my head into the book. But I thought, no, here's another human being, someone else that Jesus loves. Wonder if he's heard about Jesus yet. And even though as the events progressed and we started chatting about a few things, and we ended up chatting about Bo Pelini more than we did about Jesus. But he was guiding and directing the conversation more than I was. But I want to learn how to get better. Sharing the preciousness of Jesus with others starts in my own family, right? Starts in my own family and then spreads wider. But I do feel that reading through the books of Luke and Acts recently definitely reviving my spirit. Definitely reviving my spirit. Can you remember when we got together a couple of weeks ago when we looked through the introduction to the book of Luke, the main purpose why Luke was writing to his friend Theophilus, well pronounced, Ashley, Theophilus. Can you remember? Why was Luke writing? Why did he do that diligent research? Maybe some of you students have got papers coming up very shortly in the end of semester and a whole bunch of things going on. Why did Luke take the time as a historian to research carefully the things that he did? Do you remember what we said? So we'll begin with A. I think you said it, Virginia, last time. Assurance. Assurance and certainty. Because guess what? As Christians, we're trying to hold on to things. We're trying to believe in things that we don't see. That we don't see. We're trying to hold on to things and believe in things that we don't see. And sometimes that's tough. We have to picture in our minds where Jesus is now and what he's doing now and understand that much better than we do. As we sit here this morning in this church on the corner of Cotner, 48th and A Street, Jesus is still working. Jesus is still doing things. Jesus is still teaching things. Not here on earth anymore. Jesus' earthly ministry is finished. But his earthly ministry stopped so his heavenly ministry could begin. His earthly ministry stopped so his heavenly ministry could begin. And hopefully as we explore through the themes of the book of Acts, we'll be able to see what the early church was like, or the early churches were like. What drove them? What held them together when they had their problems, when they had their trials, when they had their issues? The book of Acts is a very frank, open, honest book. Are you ready to deal openly and honestly and be real with God, with yourself and with others? This is what we're learning about right now in Celebrate Recovery program. So remember, Luke and Acts go together. There are some important main themes in the book. But I just want to look at these first five verses this morning and just pick out a few things. I'm so excited about these first five verses, I could do, I reckon, five sermons on it. I'll try and condense it down and pick out the bits to share with you this morning. Remember those bookends in the book of Acts. Jesus. 10 times in these first five verses alone, 10 times. We see either the name Jesus or the pronoun he relating to Jesus. 10 times. The early church were Jesus steeped. They were steeped in the person and the work of the Messiah. Messiah had come. the things that were written in the Old Testament, the things that were written in the writings of Moses, in the Psalms and in the prophets. A new beginning had come. Everything that they'd looked forward to for so many years had been realized in Jesus. But friends, there's a flip side to this, because many people didn't see that clearly. Many people, even among God's people, didn't see that. Oh, there you are. Didn't see that clearly. And so, friends, the same danger exists today, that we don't see Jesus very clearly. And sometimes, if you're like me, that's because you watch too much sport, or because you eat too much food, or because you're just so busy doing everything else that you got no time to do like Mary did and sit at the feet of Jesus, catch that 15 minutes, that 20 minutes, that 30 minutes. Those of you who know the book of Acts well know that there was one sermon recorded in this book. I think it's in Acts chapter 20, where Paul preached all night. Don't worry, I'm not going to do that to you today. I know what you're thinking. The Spirit was in control. The Spirit was moving deep in the hearts and lives of people to draw them to Jesus and to draw them together. Unity in mission. Unity in the Messiah. 10 times in these first 5 verses, Jesus is referenced. 2 times, the Holy Spirit is referenced. And 1 time, the kingdom of God is referenced. So, let's dig into the passage, Acts chapter 1. I'm just going to open up my Bible here. If you have your Bible or your iPod, or your iPad, your smartphone, let's get into the Word together this morning, shall we? Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. I'm going to pick out just 3 things here this morning. 3 things here this morning from this passage to hopefully give you some hope and encouragement in the busyness and in the stress of your modern life today. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles that he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, can you imagine, can you picture it? And we have some instances, obviously, in the end of the Gospel of John, where Jesus hijacks a group of fishermen, invites himself for breakfast, cooks breakfast. You know, the good news is, folks, that Jesus loves to eat. I like that. First thing we're going to do when we get to heaven is have a Thanksgiving meal. Jesus is going to serve you. Jesus is going to serve you at the table. And the angels are going to serve you. Wonder what we'll eat. Wonder what the heavenly tastes will be like, the heavenly taste buds. I know that down here mine are thoroughly perverted. On one occasion, while Jesus was eating with them, he gave them this command. don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John the Baptist, baptized with water, but in a few days, 10 days to be precise, in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Just three things I want to just pick out of this opening few verses here. You know, we know as well, don't we, that the Bible is a thoroughly divine book. It's filled with God's thoughts towards you, towards us. It's filled with motivational principles to help keep us going on our way on our Christian journey, especially when things get tough. Spirit-inspired thoughts, Spirit-inspired words. The good news is, friends, the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is a person, just like Jesus is a person, just like God the Father has a personhood as well. As Christians, we worship Trinitarian God, three divine persons in one community. It's the picture of what God wants the church to be too, friends. All our different people, all the different ages, all the different sizes, all the different complexions, all the different color skins. It's what God wants the church to be. A union of many different people and parts together, united in one mission and one purpose. And the book of Acts is not really about people, although it includes people. It's about the work of God in this world. About the work of God in this world. God is still working. Jesus began to do and teach certain things, but then he left. But he made sure that his chosen, designated men and women were equipped by the Holy Spirit, not by themselves, not by their own discussion, not by their own ideas, but by the Holy Spirit. They were enabled and equipped to carry on the teaching and the doing of Jesus in the world. You know, none of the gospel writers wrote exhaustively. If you turn with me just back one page probably in your Bible, or flip one notch back on your iPod or your iPad, have a look at John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. We find in the start of the book of Acts that Jesus' earthly ministry, everything that he came to do, everything that he came to accomplish, the salvation and the eternal life that he offers to you and me, he accomplished. And then he began his ministry in heaven through the Holy Spirit, in people and through people, to continue the teaching and the doing. But the records that we have of Jesus in the Gospels are not exhaustive. Jesus did more. Look at John 20, verse 30 and 31. John writes near the end of his gospel, Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you and me may have life in his name. And then look at the last verse of the Gospel of John as well. Look at the last verse of the Gospel of John as well. I have a hunch, and it's a private hunch, that John meant to finish his Gospel after chapter 20. But then he remembered his friend Peter had not been restored. I've got to restore my friend. I've got to take care of my friend. And so John records for us the resurrection of Peter. But at the end of his gospel, at the end of John 21, verse 25, it says this. Look, try and picture this, and this is what we call hyperbole. This is exaggeration, but just imagine. Just Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. Now, I've spent some time in libraries during my time, and I'm sure many of you have as well. Can you imagine? John is saying, Jesus does so much. He's doing so many things. He's done so many things among us. I'm just going to give you a select few. I'm going to give you a snapshot. We'll be amazed, I think, when we get to heaven and sit at the feet of Jesus, how much he was working in your life, how much he was working to answer your prayers you didn't know about, didn't know anything about it, especially in the lives of young people. Acts chapter 1, Luke says to his friend Theophilus, in my first book, in my gospel, I wrote to you about all that Jesus began to do and to teach. Second phrase I want to share with you here is in verse 3. Acts chapter 1 and verse 3. This was the thing. You know, sometimes when people are explaining things to you, I find I get this sometimes, you know, quite a lot because of my British ears. People are sometimes explaining something to me and it's just... And then like the third time I get it, and I'm sure it's the same the other way around as well, because I say some things and somebody says, can you say that again? Puzzled look. Can you say that again? What did you say? Are you from Australia? You know, that I don't know. We're made in such a way that we're born into this world crippled and blind and with a thorough lack of understanding. That's the way we're made, folks. We know so little. Paul said at one point, it's just like we see through a glass darkly. Just like we see through a glass darkly. That knowledge should humble us. Acts chapter 1, verse 3. Just three words, but drink it in. Because even though Jesus came as a baby in a manger, 33 years later, he was 6 miles away from where he was born, on top of a hill, strung up naked, blood everywhere. For your sins and for my sins. So that you can be happy. So that you can have a fulfilled life. So that you don't waste your life. It's incredible love. I find myself, friends, it's very hard to resist that love. I've tried as well. I've tried a lot of methods. And I've tried a lot of times. But it's hard to resist that love. Verse 3. After his suffering. Turn with me to Luke's Gospel, same author, so back to volume 1, Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, and verse 43. It was completely anathema to the disciples and to the Jews of Jesus' day that the Messiah would suffer. Absolutely anathema. Is that how we say it? Anathema, anathema. You know what I mean. It's absolutely unheard of that the Messiah would suffer and die. And so Jesus carefully tried to prepare his people, the early leaders, the first leaders of the church. Jesus carefully tried to prepare them so they wouldn't be crushed and disappointed by what was going to happen. But look here in Luke 9 and verse 43. Jesus has just been on the mountaintop. He's been transfigured before three of his best friends, Peter, James, and John. He comes down into the valley. He heals a young boy. And Jesus is this miraculous miracle man. A real first century superhero in Palestine. Jesus, bring people to Jesus. He'll cure them of their diseases. He'll raise people from the dead. He'll open eyes that are blind, and he'll make legs that have never walked before walk. This is the same Jesus that tried to prepare his disciples for the crushing blow ahead. Verse 43, and they were all amazed at the greatness of God. And God is great. While everyone was marveling at all that Jesus did, he said to his disciples, listen carefully to what I'm about to tell you. The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. Verse 45 says this. But they did not understand what this meant. It was hidden from them so that they did not grasp it, and they were afraid to ask him about it. This was the secret amongst the disciples. What did he mean when he said that? I don't know, but let's not say anything about it. Keep it a secret. He used the word beginning with the word S, suffer. We don't like that word. Okay. So we're still going to have a high place in his kingdom? You betcha. Just whoosh. Have a look at Luke chapter 18. Jesus tried again. Luke chapter 18. And if we look back and we say, oh, those silly disciples. Oh, those stupid, ignorant men. Take a look in the mirror tomorrow morning. Because I do exactly the same. Acts 18, verses 31 through 34. Jesus took the 12 aside and told them, we are going up to Jerusalem. And everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be turned over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. Jesus will be turned over to the Gentiles to suffer all kinds of cruel abuse. Jesus will be mocked. Jesus will be insulted. Jesus will be spat upon. Jesus will be flogged. And Jesus will be killed. Not to make us feel guilty, but because that was required for our salvation. To show us the height and the length and the breadth and the depth of the love of God for you. I don't know about you, friends, but I find that hard principle to go against in my life. I've tried to fight it for many years, starting as a teenager. Can't get away from the love of Jesus. I can't. Can you? It's everywhere. It's everywhere. Surrender to it. Don't resist it. Go on, give in. You know you want to. Verse 34. Oh my goodness. Maybe these disciples were English. The disciples did not understand any of this. Its meaning was hidden from them. And they didn't know what he was talking about. Surrender to it. Don't resist it. Go on, give in. You know you want to. Verse 34. Oh my goodness. Maybe these disciples were English. The disciples did not understand any of this. Its meaning was hidden from them. And they didn't know what he was talking about. Are you willing to let God's Spirit probe your life deeply? There are some inevitable barriers that we push up towards God. We shut off the valve. It wasn't until like 80 months ago that someone came to our house to look at our AC machine or our heating machine, whatever it is, the boiler downstairs in our basement. Anyway, the guy looked at me and said, "Do you know there's a switch on there that you have to turn when it's summer and when it's winter?" And I said, no, what does that do?" "Oh," he said, "that, this is going to help you quite a lot. There's a switch on there that you turn. That has your heating system got this as well? That you turn from summer to winter." Okay, all of us have one of these switches, friends, with God. We can either turn him off or turn him on. Some of us have the switch a little bit open because we're fearful. Hopefully, after we've read through the book of Acts together, my objective is that all of us will have our switches wide open. Wide open for God's power, God's love, and God's forgiveness, God's grace, the gospel in our lives. That's my hope, that's my dream as we go through the book of Acts. The Bible says the disciples did not understand any of this. Its meaning was hidden from them, and they did not know what Jesus was talking about. That's why, if you flip over another couple of pages to Luke 24, that's why this might help you understand this verse a little bit more. After Jesus has suffered, this is one of the main questions of our time as well. How can God allow suffering? I'm not going to hit that issue today, but you know, this is the main question people ask in the world today. How can there be a God if there's suffering? God answered it by coming to suffer with us and for us. And I'm going to talk about these themes until Jesus comes. Verse 45 of Luke 24 says this: "Then Jesus opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures." Did you get that? Do you want Jesus to do that for you? I'm praying in my own life, "Jesus, please help me re-understand your word. Revive me by your word. Revive me by your love. Revive me with the hope that I had when I first was baptized as a Seventh-day Adventist and believed that I'd see Jesus come with my own eyes. I'm not so sure of that now." Maybe some of you have that hope as well. Maybe it's a long-distant hope. Maybe I'm going to die in this world and I'm not going to see Jesus come. How many generations have passed away? Are we going to be another one? And if we are, what are we going to tell our children or communicate to our children and our young people? What are we going to do? Verse 45, "Then Jesus opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, 'This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance.'" And it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. Remember that. And repentance, the goodness of God, the kindness of God, leads you to repentance. "And forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to Israel, to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." It's interesting, today as I came to church, I was following a car with a license plate that said, "Pigs fly." Have you seen that one? P-I-G-Z-F-L-Y. That's right, pigs fly. I thought, that's impossible. Pigs don't fly. And then I thought about what I'm preaching about this morning, the introduction to the book of Acts, where Jesus told his disciples they were going to be his witnesses in Jerusalem, and then it was going to spread like wildfire throughout the Roman Empire. And so Luke's gospel starts in Jerusalem in the temple, ends in Jerusalem at the temple, but Acts starts in Jerusalem but finishes with Paul in Rome at the heart of the empire, at the heart of the Roman Empire. That is pigs will fly material, friends. It's impossible. Absolutely impossible. But, the Holy Spirit came down. Amen. When the disciples were ready, and maybe next time I come and share with you, we'll have a look at the Great Commission. The Great Commission just isn't found in Matthew, friends. It's found at the end of every gospel, and it's found also in the start of the book of Acts. Because before Jesus said to his disciples, look, the time is running out, go. Do you know what he said first? Stay. Wait. I don't want you running around out there like headless chickens without the power of God. God is going to enable you to be these witnesses. I found this quote by William Barclay in one of the commentaries that I was reading this week, talking about the Great Commission. Jesus told them, wait. What happened in those 10 days? If you want an answer, have a look at the book, The Acts of the Apostles by Ellen White. It'll give you an insight into what happened between that 10-day period when Jesus had ascended and gone back to heaven. The disciples are in the upper room in Jerusalem. Anyway, back to the William Barclay quote. The apostles were enjoined to wait on the coming of the Spirit. We would gain more power and courage and peace if we learn to wait. Oh, but Pastor Andy, I'm busy. Yes, I know you are. Oh, but Pastor Andy, Christmas is coming. Yes, I know it is. Oh, but Pastor Andy, you don't know what's going on in my life, in my finances, in my work. Fill in the blank. I know. Guess what? You've got 24 hours a day, just like I have. Just like Bill Gates has, you have 24 hours a day too. We all choose what we fill our time with, right? We would gain more power and courage and peace if we learned to wait. In the business of life, and we could put in there in the busyness of life, in the business of life, we need to learn to be still. And then he quotes Isaiah 40, verse 31. They who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. Are you feeling tired this morning? Stressed out with various situations? Things that you're facing? Things that your family or friends are waiting? What about the Great Commission? Wait. Stay. And then go. Amidst life's surging activity, I like this. Amidst life's surging activity, there must be time to receive. There must be time to receive. I'm going to ask the group to come up and lead us again in our final song. And I think that if this song was available at the time of the early church, the early disciples, I think they would love to sing this song entitled, In Christ Alone, Our Hope is Found. He is my strength, my shield. Let's stand and close our service this morning with this beautiful contemporary Christian song. Thank you. Keep us protected and safe until you come, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.